Praise the Lord. Amen. Good word. Praise God. Let's go in our Bibles to James chapter number 5. Perfect testimony to segue into the sermon tonight. Talking about the power of prayer. And we're talking about praying to that source, Jesus. Praise God. And the power that's available when we pray to the Lord. Praise the Lord. James chapter 5, verse number 13 through 18. Go ahead and stand for the reading of the word. I'll try not to hold you too much longer tonight. And I know I've got a lot to say, but this series is kind of, you know, I tried to make it 3 weeks, but it's going to end up being at least 4 weeks and maybe 5 weeks and maybe 6 weeks. And there's just so much about prayer in the Word of God. So let's read this scripture together right now. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or a believer availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I want to talk to you. We've talked about a few different things about prayer, but tonight I want to talk to you about the power of prayer. Does anybody in here believe in the power of prayer? I grew up hearing all the time. My dad would mention this from time to time, and it would be little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. But much prayer brings much power. There is power in prayer. There was a young man in Kentucky that was really being loud in church and really boisterous and really carrying on a little too much. And his father got angry and began to carry him out of the building. But nobody really raised an eyebrow to that, because the kid needed to be punished because he was disrupting the service. But the child captured everyone's attention as he was going out, and he cried out in that Kentucky accent, "Y'all pray for me now." Praise the Lord. I heard a story recently about a widowed woman, and I don't know if it was a true story, but I've heard it more than once. Her finances were low. Her pantry was out of food, and so she started praying. And day after day, she prayed and prayed and prayed, "God, will you fill my pantry? Lord, I need you to fill my pantry." And one day, she heard a knock on the door. And when she went outside and looked on the porch, there sat some bags of groceries. And she began to jump up and down on the porch. "God did it," she exclaimed. "God did it. Praise God. He did it." That's power in prayer, isn't it? There was a man that was hiding in the bushes right outside the door, and when she started worshiping, he jumped down and said, "Ha, I gotcha." And she said, "What are you talking about?" It was her neighbor, and he was an atheist, and he said, "I gotcha. I heard you praying that God would bring you some groceries. But I was the one that went and got the groceries. I paid for the groceries. I took my car to the grocery store. I put them in the basket. I paid for them. I brought them back to you. I put them on your doorstep, and I knocked on your door. God didn't do that. There's no God. I did that." Well, that widow woman, she started jumping up again, and she started shouting again. She said, "God did it. God did it. He brought me groceries, and he made the devil pay for it." Praise the Lord. Amen. Church, there's power in prayer. Can I hear an amen? There's power in prayer. Now, we've talked about the process of praying and the practice of praying, but let's talk about the power of praying. Let me read that text to you again from James chapter 5. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise God. Notice there are a few times that the Holy Spirit instructs us to pray. He said, when you're afflicted or suffering or hurting, what should you do? You need to pray. Say it with me. You need to pray. When you're sick and you call for others to come, and what do? They pray for you. And he said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I believe in that. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of calling out in faith. And the Lord does save the sick. Then he said this, if you've committed sins, confess and pray. Wow, what a concept. There's even power in that moment. Yes, there is. Then he said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, somebody who believes in the gospel, believes in the power of the cross, believes in God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. When that person begins to pray, a heartfelt and a persistent prayer, you can be sure and know that God gets on the move, and there's power in that prayer. Hallelujah. I was probably 5 or 6 years old. I remember the fire department coming to school there in Vandalia at Northside Christian School. The fire department, they came and they even brought props. They were talking to us about fire safety. They brought a window that was on a frame. They set it there in front of my class. They showed us how to open the window just in case the fire was right outside our door. And they said, now when you open that window, you just reach out with a pillowcase. I guess they thought a bunch of five-year-olds knew how to do all this. They said you just wave that pillowcase, you know, get somebody's attention at 3 a.m. on your street where nobody's at, and you just try to get their attention so they know your house is on fire. Well, I learned a lot, but one of the best things I learned about that was, if you catch on fire, what do you do? That's good. You all know what to do. Praise the Lord. When we face the fires of this life, we need to learn how to stop, drop, and pray. Amen. There's power in prayer. Let me talk to you about power in prayer. I've got one point with several sub-points tonight. We'll get to the rest of it next week. But number one, the power comes from whom we are praying to. Praise the Lord. You know, if you pray to Mary, there's no power in that. If you pray to Buddha, you're not going to find any power. If you pray to any other host of gods that the Hindus possess, you're not going to find any power. The power that we find is because we are praying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why, church, there is power in prayer. And I know this is elementary. I know you already know all this, but sometimes we forget or we neglect to practice praying because it becomes a routine. It's just something that we do. And when we forget or neglect the practice of prayer, we forfeit the power of prayer because of that neglect. So we must remember that when we pray, we're not just praying to the ceiling or praying out in the open air or praying just so we can get this done and on our checklist from day to day. We are praying to the God of the universe. Glory to God. We are praying to the Son, Jesus Christ, and we are praying to the Holy Spirit, and their ear is attentive to your call. There's power in that. In the context, James already knows that his readers know that he's talking about when they pray, they are to pray to God. They are to pray to the Holy Father who sits on the throne. He said, from him comes all the good and perfect gifts. And with him, there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So with that, let me go to our first sub-point here. When we pray to God, we are instructed to pray with boldness. We are to pray with boldness. We have confidence. That's what that word boldness means. We have confidence in praying because of who we are praying to. Hebrews says, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many of you have ever been to that throne of grace and found grace to help in time of need? In one of the other texts that we read earlier, I believe it was last week, the widow, she come before the judge continuously. Why? She knows he can help. She's not afraid to keep bringing her case to the courtroom because she knows he can help. That other story that we read, the parable that Jesus gave, the friend keeps knocking on his neighbor's door asking for bread. Why? Because he knows his friend can help. help. And that's what it is to come boldly before the throne of grace. Now, it'd be one thing if boldly meant to, we're just going to walk into heaven's throne room like we own the place. That's not what he's talking about at all. What he's saying is we're coming to the throne because we know we have access through the blood of Jesus, and not just access, but the Lord is ready and willing to work on our behalf. So that word boldness is more like assuredness or confidence that when I go to the Lord, hallelujah, I have his full attention. You remember when Esther, she went before the king. She hoped and prayed that he would reach out the scepter and accept her in that moment. Church, if you've been bought with the blood, you don't have to wait for the Father to reach down the scepter and say, okay, you can come in now, but you can call on him at any time. That's what boldness means. When we come to him with boldness, I have to say this here. You got to remember always make sure you're going to the right source. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 26:5, speaking about King Uzziah, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Praise God. When Uzziah started looking at himself and saying, I've got it all figured out, or when he sought for help from other kings, that's when he started making mistakes. But as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. There's power in prayer. Second point there is this: you got to come in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we read there just a second ago that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That word faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember when Abraham, it said it was accounted to him for righteousness. He hoped against hope. That means when everything around him said he couldn't have a son, that his wife would be barren the rest of their marriage, he still found reason to hope. And when you come to the Lord in prayer, you can come in faith. Amen. Come in faith. Listen, if we're not praying in faith, there's no power there. But if you can have faith, even as small as the grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and it shall be removed. And sometimes, though, God doesn't want to move the mountain, but if you still call on him in faith, he'll give you the strength to scale the mountain, or he'll order your steps around the mountain. You got to come to him in faith. Next point is this: we have power in prayer because the Lord hears us when we pray. Glory to God. Exodus 15:25, Moses, I got a lot of scripture to share with you tonight, but Moses was in the midst of complaining people, in the midst of trouble there. The waters were bitter. And you know what Moses does? Moses doesn't join in with the complaints, and he doesn't go crazy and overreact. Rather, he stops, drops, and he prays. He gets down on his knees and he begins to call out on the Lord. And even in the Old Testament, God heard Moses when he prayed. And Moses, when he prayed, the Bible says God showed him a tree. I mean, this is pretty awesome. God showed him a tree, and it was the tree that needed to be cast into the waters to make them sweet again. Glory to God. Isn't that awesome? Moses just begins to pray, and God shows him what to do. God heard him and gave him the answer. Psalm 34:4. David made this or wrote this psalm as he's running for his life. He's in the midst of the Philistines. Really, life isn't going the way that he planned. But in the midst of that, what does he say? I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Why is there power in prayer? Because our prayers do not fall on a deaf ear. Our prayers are heard. Amen. The moment they leave your lips, even if it's just above a whisper, or even if it's just within your heart and mind, as soon as you pray, you have access to the ears of the Father. And he already promised us he'd hear us when we cry. Aren't you thankful for that? Psalm 34, David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Psalm 77:1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Glory to God. We pray, he hears. Amen. Let me say it again. We pray, he hears. We pray, and he hears. But guess what else? He moves. Amen. He moves. When we pray, he moves. Psalm 91:15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Praise God. When I call on the Lord, he already made that promise. He said, if you call, I'm going to answer, and then I'll come down there with you in your trouble. I'll deliver you and I'll honor you. He hears us when we pray. Next point is this: we have power in prayer because God knows what we have need of before we even ask, and he always answers our prayer. That's why prayer is so powerful. He hears and he answers. Now Solomon, when he's in the house of the Lord, he's dedicating the temple. He offers those sacrifices. All the people are gathered together, and Solomon prays, and he's praying for God to put his stamp of approval and for his presence to be there in that sanctuary. And what does God do? The Shekinah glory falls in the house when Solomon prayed. Church, when you pray, good things happen. Elijah prayed, amen, and he prayed, and guess what happened? On Mount Carmel, fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. Listen, things happen when we pray. Again, Elijah prayed and rain came. So we see Shekinah glory and fire and rain falls. It just shows us whenever you call on the Lord, he knows what you need, when you need it, and he always brings it, amen, right on time. And the power, it's not in your voice, how loud or booming, or how you're able to say the right words. The power, again, I got to remind you, it's in the source. The promise of the Father, Isaiah 59:1. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Church, he is not limited by space or by time. Praise the Lord. You know, have you ever been in a place where you felt like God didn't hear you when you prayed? Anybody else? You've been in a place, any of you young people been there before? You felt like, man, you were at youth camp and you were the only person who wasn't feeling what everybody else was feeling. Am I the only kid that did that at youth camp? I felt that a lot. I'd look around and they'd be crying and weeping, and I'm over there like, God, where are you at with me? You know, praise the Lord. But it wouldn't be long if I just kept on praying. Amen. Kept on seeking. That's the next week's sermon, the power of persistent prayer. But we pray. God's not limited by our space or by time. His ear can always hear, and his hand is not shortened that it cannot save. When we look at things, we tend to overreact at times, and we think we need it right here and right now. I remember one of my cousins was traveling with his daughters. They were on a long trip, and they kept saying, as kids do, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we're starving, you know, all these things. And you get in the car and it's like everybody has to have a burger, everybody's got to go to the bathroom and all that stuff, and they were starving, and one of them finally said, Dad, I'm so thirsty, I'm gonna die. And he said, okay, go ahead and die then. He was joking, but she started crying. But in that moment, she, even in overreacting, she thought her thirst was gonna kill her. Church, there have been times when I've acted that way with the Lord. God, if you don't answer me right now, it's not going to turn out right. If you don't answer me right now, I don't know if I'm going to make it tomorrow. God, if you don't do this for me or for this person I'm praying for, you've got to do it right now. We don't see God's picture all the time. And we think we have to have the answer the moment we pray. And when I demanded God that answer, that moment, the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, I know how much time I have, praise the Lord. And when the Lord spoke that to my heart, I began to trust him a little more in that moment, because he knows, amen. He knows. And the Isaiah 65:24 says, it shall come to pass, before you even call, I will answer. Amen. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God knows what you have need of. You pray to him. That's what makes prayer powerful. And another point here is this. Our prayers are powerful because our prayers that we pray to God, they never die. Praise the Lord. Our prayers never die. I have to bring this up about prayers never die. And sometimes God answers our prayer immediately. Sometimes he takes several weeks. Sometimes the answer takes several years of praying. But when you pray, your prayers never die. How do I figure that? Well, Revelation 5:8 says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. God has every prayer you've prayed stored up. Amen. And so when you have prayed, I want somebody, some grandparents to listen. If our music could come tonight, I'm about to close. But every prayer you prayed for your grandchildren, you may not get to see them saved before you pass from this life to the next. Every prayer you prayed is already stored up in heaven. Amen. That prayer will not die. You people in here that have been praying for your loved ones to find Jesus or for healings to happen, they may not happen the way that you desire on this side of the grave, but listen, you just hold on. Those prayers don't die. Remember, I told you that story about that man Honai who drew the circle. I told you about 3 weeks ago about him. He drew the circle and he said, God, I'm not leaving this circle until you send rain in the middle of this drought. And what did he do? God sent rain in the middle of that drought because Honai was persistent and earnest in his prayer. But Honai was walking down a street one time, and this is in Jewish tradition, but he said he saw somebody planting some trees, and he said, how long is it going to take for those trees to bear fruit? And that farmer told that old sage, he said, it'll take 70 to 80 years for these trees to bear fruit. And Honai looked at him and said, do you think you're going to live that long and be able to eat of that fruit? And the man said, sir, I'm not. I know I'm not going to live that long, but I've eaten fruit of trees that my grandparents planted and my parents planted, and I'm planting trees for my grandkids and their kids, praise the Lord, because I want them to have some trees and some fruit to eat when they need it. And that changed Honai's way of praying. He was a good man of prayer. He was a powerful man of prayer, but he realized he could pray some future prayer. Amen. I can pray for my kids. How many of you have prayed for your kids' spouses? They're not even married yet, but you pray. Why? Because we believe in the forecast of praying that way, and there's power in those prayers. And finally this, amen, if you'll stand with me tonight, there's power in submissive prayer. There's two things about prayer. It needs to meet two criteria. Everything you pray, you need to pray God's will, and what you pray must bring God glory. Jesus prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane, and what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was committed to do God's will, and God's will would be done that day. And through the suffering of the Son, amen, he gave all of us an opportunity to become sons and daughters of the Lord. And church, that brings him glory. You get that correlation there? The Son said, Father, I want your will to be done. It's going to cause me pain in this moment, but it's going to bring you glory in the end. That's why even when we pray and we want God to bring us out of a situation, sometimes God leaves us in there a little while longer because he's going to get more glory. We pray for God's healing. Sometimes he leaves us in this situation because at the end, he's going to get more glory. I like what Paul said. He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Praise God. And I got to share one more story with you. I'm trying to cut it short here. Amen. But Mark Batterson referenced a study that was done This is going to lead us into next week's sermon. There were some first grade students. They were studying these students from Japan and America. Japan traditionally, consistently outscores us in mathematics and different standardized tests. And so they wanted to see, is it because these kids are smarter? Or what makes the difference there? And so they studied these Japanese students and the American students in first grade. They gave them a puzzle. And the whole test wasn't about if they could solve the puzzle. It was just about how long they tried. And on average, American students would quit trying about 9 or 10 minutes into the puzzle. But the Japanese students would continue to try in about 4 minutes longer. And so that gave credence to the idea it wasn't the intelligent quotient that made the difference in the higher grades in mathematics, but rather the persistence quotient. Praise God. They kept trying till they got it right. Church, you got to keep praying. Amen. You got to keep trying. The Lord's hearing our prayers. Keep calling out on Him. He's going to answer because He is the source of power in our prayer. Pray, amen. Let's all come and find us a place to pray. Maybe there's some things you've been praying about, things you've been struggling with. Let me tell you, there's power in your prayer. God will answer. Perhaps the answer's already on the way. Oh, praise the Lord. Maybe He's waiting on you to pray one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Power in prayer.
Power to spare all that you'll ever need is waiting right there. Few words, a little child's faith, and it's goodbye despair. For there's power, so much power, there's power in prayer. Oh, there's power in prayer. Power to spare all that you'll ever need is waiting right there. A few words, little child's faith, and it's goodbye despair. For there's power, so much power, there's power in prayer. Somewhere, somebody is praying tonight for loved ones who have wandered away from the light. Prayer reaches heaven, and God is aware, and forever is changed in one moment of prayer. Oh, there's power in prayer. Power to spare all that you'll ever need is waiting right there. A few words, little child's faith, and it's goodbye despair. For there's power, so much power, there's power in prayer. Oh, there's power in prayer. Power to spare all that you'll ever need is waiting right there. A few words, little child's faith, and it's goodbye despair. For there power, so much power. There's power in prayer. A man holds a body that's periled in pain. The doctors have tried, but all hope is in vain. Oh, but wait, someone's praying in the midst of the gloom. And all at once, the great physician steps into the room. For there's power in prayer, power to spare all that you'll ever need is waiting right there. A few words, little child's faith, and it's goodbye despair. For there's power, so much power. There's power.